Chapter 10, Karandiru, Day of Vengeance. Crouched on the ramp of the descending Stormbird, Korax had a perfect view of the unfolding battle for the main city of Karandiru. With the exception of a few buildings containing isolated emergency generators, the city was swathed in darkness. Fiery meteors carved trails against a violet sunset as the remnants of crashing orbital cannons and missile platforms burned up, weapons that had, until the Raven Guard strike, been pointed at the surface rather than into space. Across the city below, encircled by its kilometer-high wall, lasfire sparkled across streets and rooftops. From several kilometers up, it looked like glitter thrown onto a dark pool. Here and there, fires raged from more substantial weapons. Sukuna had done his job well, though, and such outbreaks were contained. A fire raging through the confines of the prison city could kill thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands. It was impossible to protect everybody, and many would die in the uprising, but they were not here to liberate charred corpses. Around the Stormbird, the dark shapes of Whisper Cutters and Shadowhawks, carrying more of Korax's Mordathan, cut through the darkening sky. The Shadowmasters were splitting up, dropping towards selected targets throughout the conurbation. Further up, Thunderhawks and Stormbirds ploughed down, heading towards outlying work settlements and smaller security facilities. Mineheads and mills surrounded by kilometers of razor wire, minefields and defense turrets. Columns of smoke rose from anti-air silos removed by pinpoint strikes from the Raven Guard fleet in orbit over Karandiru. There were other groups attacking across the world, targeting supply depots and military barracks, led by Raven Guard veterans, but made up from warriors drawn from across the other Legion groups. It was the perfect training ground to teach the Raven Guard method of war. Small attack groups, numbering only a few dozen warriors, linked up with resistance cells rapidly raised by Sukuna and existing dissidents. 2 kilometers up, it was time for Korax and the main attack to go their separate ways. The Primarch glanced back at Arendai in the Stormbird compartment. The bodyguard lifted a fist in acknowledgement, the gesture duplicated by the legionaries around him.
"Remember, I want the wall guns silenced and secured," the Primarch said over the vox.
The reminder was probably unnecessary, but as with so many Raven Guard operations, timing was paramount.
"Rendezvous in 3 hours."
"Good hunting," Arendai replied. Unfurling his flight pack wings, Korax jumped off the ramp, a combi weapon gripped tightly in his right hand. A thermal immediately caught the Primarch, lifting him above the plunging dropship. He angled left and down, diving towards the wider streets and squares towards the center of the city. Even from this height, he could see the people thronging the streets, a mass of humanity converging on the fortress palace that covered a hill in the northern reaches of the city. There would be casualties. Few worthwhile endeavors could be accomplished without sacrifice, but it was not Korax's desire to see the blood of the oppressed shed needlessly. He would not incite rebellion and then leave others to face the bloody consequences. Taking the city would not be a straightforward task, and the people of Karandiru would need help whilst the Raven Guard established control. Korax had assigned himself the duty of staving off the first counterattacks against the people, while the rest of his force secured vital defense points. Korax had wondered whether the Sons of Horus and other Space Marines would try to quench the uprising with the blood of the non-Legion soldiers acting as guards, but the legionaries left as garrison were responding strongly. Until now, the Raven Guard presence had been hidden, and the traitors looked as though they were seeking to quell the rebellion before it had established itself, not understanding the full extent of the forces now ranged against them. It made them vulnerable, as the Primarch had planned. Circling a kilometer up, Korax saw a Mastodon troop carrier leaving one of the depots close to the main watchkeep. It appeared to be heading for the central plaza. The Mastodon was capable of carrying 40 Space Marines within its hull, slow but well-armed and armored. As a mobile command point, it would be ideal for coordinating the suppression of the uprising, and, if fortune favored the Primarch, a high-level officer, or perhaps even the facility commandant himself, might be found within. The Primarch furled his wings and dropped, arrowing towards the city like a black meteor. A few hundred meters up, he started to angle towards the Mastodon, opening his wings a little to slow his descent as he soared over the rooftops. Ahead, scattered marksmen had taken up positions in garrets and walkways overlooking the advance of the surging populace. The cold-hearted killers were sniping at will, gunning down unarmed civilians in the streets below. Korax adjusted his flight path, curving to the left and right, a flicked wingtip or fist decapitating and disemboweling the exposed guards as he swept past. The Mastodon's size limited it to the main thoroughfares, making its course easy to predict. Gaining a little more height, Korax turned and came at the armored carrier from the front, dropping almost to street level. Small arms fire sprayed at the Primarch as he sped between the buildings towards the slab-sided transport, but approaching from directly in front kept him out of the arc of the main sponson weapons on the Mastodon's flanks. Through the slit of the driver's position in the jutting front cab, Korax could see eyes widen with surprise as he powered towards the vehicle, seemingly intent on a collision. At the last moment, Korax flipped a wing and rolled to his left, passing along the side of the carrier. He fired the melter part of his combi weapon, ripping through the gun blister of the sponson. Using his wings as an air brake, he drove his fingertips between ruptured plates of ceramite and used his momentum to swing up to the top of the vehicle. Wings snapping out of the way, Korax strode to the nearest cupola, manned by a mortal guard in a black visored helm. Hooking his combi weapon to his belt, Korax grabbed the man's head and wrenched him from his position. He threw the soldier over the side of the Mastodon, where he crumpled on the rockcrete a few meters below. Another gunner swung a twin-barreled heavy bolter in Korax's direction. The Primarch dodged left, then right, eluding the salvo of explosive-tipped rounds. A kick flattened the armor plate protecting the gunner, trapping his arms beneath the bent metal. With an open-handed chop, Korax decapitated the man, and then with a return blow, severed the arms so that the headless corpse dropped down into the body of the vehicle. With a hiss of pneumatics, a hatch opened behind Korax. He ripped the twisted metal shield free from the broken cupola weapon and pulled a heavy bolter off its mount, hefting it easily. Three rounds met the first man scrambling out of the hatch, each detonation tearing a chunk out of guts and chest. The second clambered into view, clearly forced out by someone below. Two more heavy bolter shots obliterated his head. The Mastodon stopped. Korax heard the clang of the assault ramp at the front and moved to stand behind the driver's compartment. A stream of red-uniformed soldiers spilled out of the carrier's innards. He cut them down with bursts from the heavy bolter as they emerged, leaving not one enough time to raise a weapon. The belt feed of the heavy bolter was almost finished. Korax swung down to the front of the carrier, hanging on with one hand as he fired the remaining three bolts through the driver's slit, rewarded by the wet crump of exploding flesh and a shriek of pain cut short. Throwing the spent weapon aside, the Primarch let himself drop onto the assault ramp, landing directly onto another guard, pulverizing her into the metal mesh. A mixture of visored faces and fear-filled eyes met Korax as he stepped up to the entrance hatch of the carrier.
"I will make this quick," Korax promised them, pulling his gun free. And he did.
When he was done, disappointed that he had not encountered a single legionary, Korax moved to the command console on the upper level of the transport, punching his way through the upper deck to force entry. There was one survivor remaining, gabbling over the Voxlink, requesting immediate assistance. Korax lanced a fist through the man's spine, severing it between the shoulders. A flick of the wrist ended the paralyzed man's brief horror, tearing out heart and lungs. Stooping over the comnet panel, Korax looked for the epicenter of the command channel traffic. There were two locations on the grid, the main citadel and a complex of guard towers and bunkers just outside the south wall. Sukuna was already in the keep and would soon be supported by the arrival of Arendai and his warriors. The whole insurrection was focused on storming the keep, and there was little point in Korax adding his might to that battle. The secondary station intrigued him. It was in the center of a large amount of the strategic data, crisscrossing the city and the outer guard stations. Korax knew that if he was the ruler of a prison world, he would not place his strength in an easily identified city fortress. The compound outside the city seemed the most likely location to find the commandant. There were no other assets free to storm the compound, and Korax was determined that whoever was responsible for running this despicable world would be brought to account. Already, the arrival of the Raven Guard would be causing the commandant serious doubts, and Korax wanted him captured before he could disappear into the wilderness, or perhaps escape into orbit. He had no desire for an extended hunt. His mantra was to attack fast and leave quickly. So the only option appeared to be personal intervention.
"This is Korax to all forces. Secondary facilities detected outside the complex. I am investigating. Expect low resistance. Continue with current objectives. No reinforcement needed."
Exiting the Mastodon, Korax spread his wings and soared into the sky.